All right, I need a little bit of volunteerism. Anybody can raise their hand? I'm going to hold up an object here. Somebody tell me what this is. Anybody want to guess? What do you think back there? These are the pastor's pants? Woo! I got to really squeeze into those babies. They are pants, but they don't belong to me. I can probably even get one foot in there. They belong to that lovely lady that I live with. But anybody notice what's going on with these particular pants? I'll call them tights. I don't think they're tights. Leggings? I don't know. They're pretty small. What's going on at the bottom? Anybody can see this? Raise your hand. What's over here? I hear Nike. Raise your hands, guys. This is a classroom. All right. Back here. Yeah, go ahead. It's a branding, all right? What does the branding say, of course? Nike. Why Nike? Why not something else? How about that swish mark? That is like a dead giveaway that something's a Nike brand. Why is Nike a brand for a sports equipment or something athletic? You ever wonder? Anybody have a guess? Anybody guess why? What's over there? It's an advertising? Yeah, go back over here. Yeah, if you believe in those kind of foreign gods of Greek mythology, Nike is a Greek god for victory. So it makes sense to put it with athletics. Actually, the Greek word for victory means nika, nika. Well, how about something else? We know this a little bit better. Nike... just do it, right? If you're gonna play sports, just do it. Don't just talk about training to be an Olympic athlete. Just do it. Don't just talk about playing sports. Just do it. How about prayer? Just do it. Today in our lesson, we heard that from Jesus' own words himself. Ask, and it will be given to you. From Luke chapter 7. Seek, and you will find. Knock on that door that is God himself. And what does the door do? Just do it, he says. In Luke, the gospel according to Luke, Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer by saying, Father, hallowed be your name. When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Hold up. Did you hear that? Did you hear the first three words? Listen again. When you pray. When you pray. There's no if you pray, right? Jesus is not saying, if you happen to pray, you can say this. He doesn't say you should. He simply has the assertion that you will pray, that you are praying to our Father. Do you pray? Well, we just did, of course, before my sermon. We do a lot in church, but are you going to tomorrow morning? I hope, I think. Well, Jesus seems to imply that you do. Do you pray? If you do, what kinds of things? What kinds of things do you pray about? When do you pray? Where do you pray? You probably heard it said that you can tell what really matters to a person by flipping through their bank statement, what their values really are. I guess you can tell a lot about what really matters to a person as well by what they pray for. So what have you been praying for? Well, as you think about that, today I'm here to remind you, like all of God's gifts, prayer can be twisted into a stumbling block. Yes, even the good gift of God's prayer can be turned into a stumbling block that trips us up from our faith, that shakes our faith. The first tactic described by Screwtape, that fictional demon in our letter today, to simply close our mouths. If we can just close our mouths, prayer isn't really happening. Prayer to God out loud. Whether this is to preoccupy us so that we forget to pray, to fill us with so much busyness in our day and age that causes our minds to wander, or maybe even be too shy to pray out loud, or maybe even to make the intention to pray before you fall asleep in bed, but instead melt under exhaustion from a long day, and you never quite finish those prayers in bed. His first means of twisting prayer is to simply twist it out of our minds and off of our lips, for us to be forgetting to pray, to close our mouths. And it's interesting that Christian author C.S. Lewis, when he wrote this book a long time ago, he talks about the devil closing our mouths in the context of prayers of silence. You know those, prayers that are entirely spontaneous, inward, informal, unregularized. Simply when we're cutting the lawn, we're thinking about something that we turn into a prayer. These are kind of mini prayers. They produce a vaguely devotional mood in us. But you could say they're not true prayer to God, always. But rather, think about this. Your God-given will and intelligence ought to guide that prayer, to be firmly devoted where He, our Lord, is the focus. That your confession of the faith ought to serve as a map for a prayer. And the actual act of praying out loud can prove to be a really helpful ally against wandering thoughts and incoherent prayer. But when our mouths are closed and our minds find freedom to wander from mental to-do lists for the day, for the next meal, to an argument that you had with your spouse last week, as long as your mind is wandering from God, your prayers are being twisted. Think about that. Keep them focused upon themselves, Jesus, or Satan in Screwtape says. Keep them focused upon themselves. We all believe in our heart of hearts that we can fix our problems. When we want to change something about our personality or our mood, we look to ways to affect that within ourselves. After all, just do it. We're all, in some way or another, fixers. And this is also shown in this quip from the fictional demon Screwtape that when they say they are praying for forgiveness, let them be trying to feel forgiven. Feeling forgiven isn't a promise of God. What He promises is forgiveness. You might not feel forgiven, but guess what? You are. And that promise is received like all of the promises of God. By faith, we trust, even if we can't see. By faith, not by experience or an emotional bliss that we know God is acting, but we trust it in our heart of hearts. How many of you got a little buzz in your pocket maybe a little couple minutes ago? Did your cell phone happen to buzz off at all? Go ahead, look, take a look at grabbing your pocket. Anybody get a buzz? Anybody get a message? Let's see. Let's check them out. If you happen to have a cell phone, go ahead. You can. It's safe. I think it's safe. Did you get a message at all in the last couple minutes? Anybody? Raise your hand if you did. We did? We got one over here. We got one over there. They're popping up. Anybody else? Somebody raise your hand if you got a message during the sermon. Raise your hand. Anybody? Nobody? A couple of you. Anybody get a message from the pastor? Anybody? If you haven't, guess what? It's coming. We gotta wait for technology. And it's simple as that. It's a distraction. We use these things every day. If you have them, we use them at home. Some of us have the older ones where you can dial them. They're meant to communicate, but they're also great ways to distract, right? If you're really nervous about going somewhere for the first time, guess what? These pop out and I'm like, okay, I'm cool now. It's a distraction sometimes. And that's what Satan likes to do with even our prayer. Tell us we got something else going on when we're trying to pay attention to what God's saying. Confuse them about eternity. Screwtape and Satan say. Lewis writes that God lives in eternity and his desire is that we would also inhabit that eternity on the last day. But it's a mistake for us to view eternity in our faith as exclusively a future reality, that one day we're going to have eternal life. We think of it that way. Eternity isn't compared with the future, and certainly not the past, but guess what? The present. We are living eternal lives right now. And therefore, in God's eternity, the future, the past, are all swallowed up right here in this present moment. A time when all things simply are as God has fashioned them to be. And so our prayers stop being wishful thinking all of a sudden. And then also it's for this reason, that great trap of the devil to lead us to focus our prayers not with thankfulness for the past, but with a longing desire for the way things used to be, is ended. The future, also filled with its own uncertainties and hopes and fears of all the years, it's a place where the devil can crouch and hide, whispering lies to you about what will more than likely never be. But prayer, it seems, for some of us, so insufficient, doesn't it? That all we can do for somebody is say a prayer. It's just words, we think. It's just talking to a God who we're not even absolutely sure that he's listening. What about those unanswered prayers, which are really just prayers that God has answered, but not the ways we wanted to be? Beyond that, what about actually prayers that are answered, but those we would have happened? Would those prayers happen if we didn't pray for something? Would God still have done goodness if we didn't pray for it? Prayer, as you can see, is yet what another arena for us. A valuable connection, communication to God, but yet another arena for the devil to play. And use that same tired old question that he used even in the beginning. Did God really say? Did he really say he would hear you when you pray? Did he really say, ask whatever you want in my name and it will be yours? But Jesus prayed. And you know what he prayed? He prayed for you. He knew you were going to exist in this day, in this time. And he planned for you to be here. And he prayed for your very own body and soul. And throughout his life, Jesus prayed as God's beloved Son. And it was on the cross that our Heavenly Father turned his back on his one and only Son so that he might never turn a deaf ear to your prayers. Because of Jesus, you have a direct connection to our Heavenly Father, the maker of all things. His ears are always open and willing to hear those words that come from your lips. And more than the Father and the Son, along with the Father and the Son, likewise we hear today that the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of our living God, helps us in our weaknesses. You don't have to raise your hand, but I know there's some of us out there that sometimes feel a little bit uneasy about prayer. Sometimes we just don't know what to say. when to say it, where to say it, how to say it. The Spirit helps you in your weakness. He knows what you're going to pray for before you even think it. And he communicates that so that God would give you his good gifts. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So, when you pray, as you are just doing it, do so out loud. I'll make that challenge for you today. When you say, I'll pray for you, pray for them right there, out loud, and watch how God's people react. Pray out loud, boldly knowing the Spirit of our living God has already silenced our accuser, because one little word can subdue him, and that very word is our risen Lord Jesus Christ. So, when you pray, focus on Jesus and his cross, and just do it. Amen.